decided to give a lesson like this or on this theme because of our Bible class lesson this morning was on in the Gospel of Mark, chapters 2 and 3, traditions. Jesus going through the cornfield on the Sabbath and eating, and then the healing the leper on the Sabbath. And so I thought, well, I'll just give that lesson since this is a holiday season on a little bit about traditions. And so I kind of, I won't say hurriedly, but hurriedly put some notes together and try to get Jim an outline by Wednesday evening. And then I thought yesterday, I said, I didn't say anything about Christmas trees. So I'll do that right now. The question I'll ask is, does Jeremiah chapter 10, the first five verses, refer to Christmas trees? No. But here's the verse. Can't refer to Christmas tree. In Jeremiah 10, beginning of verse 1, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Don't learn their way. Do not be dismayed at the signs, for the Gentiles are dismayed by them. For the customs of the people are futile. That's an interesting phrase. The customs, traditions of the people are futile, the Gentiles. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, cuts it with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold, fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree. They cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them. They can't do evil, neither can they do good. Jeremiah is warning Israel of two things. First, they're not to copy the idolatry of the nations around them. That's a given, I would hope. The custom of the pagans or the nations around them was to worship in clumps of trees. Ashtaroth, Baal. You go and have the idol there made out of a tree stump. And so that was often venerated. That was the place to go to give God worship and praise. And this Ashtaroth was often represented by a branch or a limb from a tree or a decorated stump, carved image. Sometimes they would bring an image home, decorate it, make it look like their visual of Ashtaroth. Israel, Jeremiah says, don't learn from that. Don't do that. But second, they were also not to be frightened by the idols because the idols didn't have any power or influence. Frighten the text. These idols, these carved pieces of wood, they couldn't, and decorated piece of wood couldn't do any harm. Can't do any good. They were empty, unnecessary. So it was kind of foolish to worship them and foolish to fear them. Don't do either one. Don't worship them. Don't fear them, Jeremiah said. So I added in my last note, so these verses could not refer specifically to a Christmas tree because that would have no meaning to the people of Israel. The whole idea of what we're thinking of today as Christmas comes almost 800 years later. Maybe even 1,000 years later from the time Jeremiah is writing, Christmas would not even be in their thoughts. But we all always say, could these verses be applied to holiday trees? Because I've heard preachers all my life refer to this verse as a pagan thing, and therefore we shouldn't have a so-called Christmas tree, in our house or somewhere. But you should not have a Christmas tree only if you actually worship it when you set it up. Don't have a Christmas tree if you ascribe to that tree some supernatural power. Or if you worship the tree. Or if you fear its power. That's the text, Jeremiah 10. Or if you begin to treat the tree as a god of some kind. That's what Jeremiah is saying. The opening phrase is, don't learn the way of the Gentiles. So if you have a tree and you decorate it, it has no significance or meaning to this verse back there, only in the sense that if that tree begins, it becomes an object of worship, a place where you go and bow down to give praise. Our putting up a tree is just tradition and nothing more, nothing less. Unless you worship it. You don't do that. Now, two pages of... I'm putting your notes, I had just the title, talked to just a couple of people earlier. You know, the question is, should Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy day? Emphasis on a holy day. That's why I underlined it twice in your notes. If you stop the question at should a Christian celebrate Christmas, that's optional. That's according to your own faith, according to Romans chapter 14. If you just want to do that and someone else doesn't, why can't we all just get along? But that's not the question in the title. The question is, should you observe Christmas as a holy day? Seems like a strange question to ask in our modern ears, but we think, oh, well, of course, it's an important holiday, just like Easter. The two, I've always heard some other religious people say, some churches of Christ, but some are leaning that way. Two most important days in the year, Christmas and New Year. My, where did you get that idea? So the case isn't closed yet, but now concerning Christians decorating a tree among us tonight, it's going to vary widely. Probably if I ask everyone here, I may get as many different answers as the people I ask. That's the situation. You know, so how much participation will we do? Brief history, and I just kind of put, you know, the Roman Catholic Church added holy days about the 4th century. That's where it started, including Christmas and Easter, to kind of unite the kingdom. They thought, boy, if we can, especially Constantine, he said, you know, if we can unite the Romans along with the Christians that are here, you know, then we'll have peace in the valley. It will be a united kingdom of Rome. And so that took place long after the New Testament. And so these pagan holidays or these Christian holidays from the Old Testament were brought over into mainstream Protestantism over the centuries, been adopted by nearly all of those in what we think of as, or the world talks of as, Christianity. You know, millions of people celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas and the resurrection of Jesus at that one time a year called Easter. You know, and through the years, I've known gospel preachers, and most members of the Churches of Christ have taught often on Christ's birth and death. But however, we typically emphasize that the celebrating of any religious holiday other than the Lord's Day on the first day of the week is adding to the Word of God. That's been typically our position. I can't speak for everybody. That's my position. You know, we don't celebrate any feast day holiday like they did in the Old Testament when they had their designated times. Most of these preachers, they would hold, you can enjoy a holiday as long as you didn't make it a holy day. Now think for a moment how you observe other holidays during the year. Do you celebrate the 4th of July? Have you ever put a flag out? Have you ever draped red, white, and blue in your front yard? Have you ever put a flag on your car? It's the 4th of July. Did you do it religious, as a religious observance to God, a worship to God? No, you just observed the holiday. By participating in what many people do to varying degrees, you put a flag out, something red, white, and blue. It's the 4th of July. Did you go to a parade? You should participate in a parade. Family members saw. What about New Year's Eve? You stay up to see the... No. Well, we don't now, but there was a time. Danny shaking his head this way. Of course, yeah. my New Year's Eve, I turn the television on for New York time. I celebrate with New York. 9 o'clock. Memorial Day. You ever go to the cemetery and just to observe with others? No time of remembrance. Not as a holy day, but you may other. Not the variety of degrees and participation, but yeah. So why is Christmas so different? What about Valentine's Day? You ever send a Valentine to your loved one? Oh, you participate. You and I participate. It's a holiday. What'd you do? It wasn't a day of time of worship to come and make it a holy day. It's well, we can't do that. There's been times when we can't get family together on that Thursday, so we do it on Saturday. Is it okay to change the day? Why not? What about Labor Day? Did you take the day off? Did your company give you the day off? Just the place where you work closed down? You have a long weekend? Oh, we participate in a lot of holidays, don't we? Not just add Christmas. Can we participate in Christmas? Can we put out a snowflake or two? Hang some lights to varying degrees? No, not everyone's going to do it the same. So when we, as long as we don't make it a holy day, you know, we can celebrate the non-religious customs of the land. We can use decorations. We can give gifts. But not the part of making this the birthday of Jesus and single it out as a religious day. I don't do that. When I did, by definition, I'm not going to get to everything on here, so don't worry about that. Definition of a holy day, so we're all on the same page. So when I say, are you celebrating as a holy day, it means, are you giving this day to a dedicated religious use? Are you separating this day as something sacred? Hope not. Are you taking this day as a day that deserves deep religious respect and awe and reverence and adoration? You don't have any biblical support for it. There's only one day that the Bible and Jesus mentions that we are to hold in remembrance. The Lord's Day. And we have an observance every Lord's Day. There is no other day that we need to set apart as a holy day in the New Testament. No other day. So if you make it a holy day, you're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday as a religious reverence or something sacred, you know, something set apart and dedicated to some exalted purpose. So I ask you, does the Bible single out this so-called birthday of Jesus to be a one-time annual holy day to celebrate his birth? And the answer is no. In fact, all the one of the religious major religions back in the 4th or 5th century decided that this would be the day to tie it in with the winter solstice, you know, when the sun reaches its farthest point south and comes back. And so they tied Christmas in with that, but most people recognize that when you read the Bible account of Jesus' birth, Jesus couldn't have been born in the latter part of December. All the flocks were brought in. The flocks were not out in the other areas. And the biblical description of the seasons and the events around Jesus just don't add up to a late December event. So in recent years, a lot of people have joined the practice and preached Jesus' birth only at Christmas time. I love that traditional word, Christmas time. You know, they'll sing what we call Christmas song. They'll decorate, some religious, you know, they'll decorate their building with a Christmas tree. They'll have a nativity scene and full-scale Christmas programs. You know, I've had people ask me already, you know, this in recent days and weeks, are you going to have a Christmas mass? No. You going to have a Christmas Eve service? No. do similar things around the Easter. And then they'll invoke Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. But that's... I would have to have another study on Romans chapter 14. I'll pull out some notes. We'll go verse by verse through Romans chapter 14. But is there a precept, a law, a rule, or example in the New Testament church of Jesus' birth being a holy day? Nothing even close. You don't even see Paul's writing. It's such an important day. Why wouldn't Paul or the other writers mention something to the churches in their letters? Oh, don't forget to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Not there. Well, let me give you some instructions on how to observe the birthday of Jesus and set it apart as a holy day. It's not there. Completely silent and absent. Take a look at just a few biblical signs. Okay, I'll try to hurry. But just, I'll just read the verses. You'll get it. But now, Paul says, after you have known God, all right, that's us. We've known God. We're Christians. Or rather, are known by God, he said. Interesting phrase. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Observing holy days, or making something a holy day. That put, Paul specifically, that puts you back in bondage. He says, you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. Afraid of you? Lest I bestow upon you labor in vain. Oh, in other words, is my time spent preaching to you in vain? Didn't you get the message? You see, if you start celebrating Christmas as a holy day, you've added on to Christianity. Christianity is already sufficient within itself. We don't need to add on holy days to make ourselves presentable and acceptable to Christ or God. Paul says, if you start observing holy days, you've added to Christianity. That takes you back, what did I put in your notes? Back to Rome instead of Jerusalem. Why? I put in your notes, find it odd that people that stress the observance of days and not authorized, especially like in our context tonight as Christmas, they have the least regard for the day that God has ordained, the first day of the week. Just an observation. Oh, we got to celebrate Christmas. Really? What about the first day of the week? No. Christmas. Wow. Am I bestowing labor upon you in vain, adding to your already the burden and the difficulty, the hardship of Christian living? You want to add a holy day on top of that? Paul says, no, that's weak, that's beggarly. I'm afraid of you. Wow. Paul. In Colossians 2, verse 16, let no man, oh, I wonder who that man is. Let no man, it's the Old Testament keepers, I'll identify that man for you. Let no Old Testament keeper therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come. All these holy days and feast days, they're a shadow designed to be done away and not to be carried over and made a holy day in the New Testament life. All right. So even, these people that want to keep the day, they will judge us. You don't have a Christmas celebration. No, we just, what we did last week, we're going to do this week, and we'll do the same thing next week, next Lord's Day. That's what we're going to do for Christmas. Holy days are, verse 17, of Colossians 2, verse 17, holy days are not to be a test of fellowship. You don't keep a holy day, you're not a Christian. Don't let these Old Testament keepers judge you because you don't keep the days that they want. In Matthew 15, verse 3, we talked about this morning in Bible class a little bit. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Says, you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah say of you, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And they know my heart's in this. Yeah, but it's a holy day. And you're not keeping the things that God said to keep. In Mark 7, verse 9, ye reject the commandment of God that you can keep your own tradition. Colossians 3, verse 7 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We have no authority for a holy day. It's the Lord's day. And we need to do all in the name by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving praise to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, that you might learn in us. What do you want to learn from Paul? Paulus. Might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up one against the other. We might hold some teachers in high regard. Do you think, oh, they said to do this? And Paul said, no. We hold high, we should hold high that which is written, not the speakers. So again, we ask, is there any precept or example in the written word to celebrate Jesus' birth with a special religious day or holy day observance? And even the New Testament doesn't even use the word Christmas. So to view Christmas and or Easter as a holy day is to attach meaning to them that God does not. So I just put two others in 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we've received a commandment from the Father. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John 17 verse 17, sanctify them by thy word is truth. So the greatest joy that we can give to our heavenly host is to walk in the truth, or walk by the word of God. So the question, is it wrong to preach on the birth of Christ? No, it's part of the gospel, isn't it? Is it wrong to sing songs related to Jesus' birth? No. We sing about every other part of Jesus' life. His death, his resurrection, his coming again. Lots of songs. Why can't we sing about Jesus' birth? I don't find anything wrong with that. Question is, when should we celebrate or rejoice in Jesus' birth? Of course, the answer is all year.
Every day.
Every day, in a sense. Just as we do each Lord's Day in reflecting on Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. Every day is a day to think about what Jesus has done for us. The awkwardness we have is that the world has given us, or given Jesus, a birthday. The world did that. They gave us a birthday for Jesus. They singled out a certain time to celebrate that birthday, and it's become a holy day. The world did that. I've known preachers to preach on Jesus' birth and sing songs about his birth, usually in July, to get the point across. June or July, let me tell you, let's sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. It is July. We can sing about Jesus' birth anytime. Don't save it for December. Again, we observe a resurrection day every first day of the week. Not on a designated holy day once a year. So that's the lesson. Again, the principal theme of that lesson this evening is hopefully to try to address it maybe directly, but emphasis on what's written. What do we have authorization for? And so in your participation and celebration, putting the decorations up just to do any other holiday, holy day, holiday. Don't make the holidays a holy day. But you can certainly celebrate the customs, the joys of the land, participate in many ways. But just don't bow down to that tree. So Dennis, keep your decorations up. Mm-hmm. But just don't go out there and say, oh, look what I did, man. Every day. Three times a day. Bow down. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. this evening, and just while we're gathered together, prayer request, we can certainly honor that. If you want to come forward and make that request, fine, or even at the close of the song, hands say, I have a prayer request, we can do that too. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us again. If that's your resolve, if that's your determination, please come on.